Howdy, folks, and welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the lungs have a cool down the
road. Yeah, going to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cotner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Memories that linger in my heart. Memories that make my heart grow cold. But someday they'll live again, sweetheart. And my blue moon again will turn to gold. When my blue moon turns to gold again, when the rainbow turns the clouds away, when my blue moon turns to gold again, you'll be back in my arms to stay. The lips that used to thrill me so, your kisses were meant for only me. In my dreams they live again, sweetheart. But my golden moon is just a memory. When my blue moon turns to gold again, when the rainbow turns the clouds away, when my blue moon turns to gold again, you'll be back in my arms to stay.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome once more to Melody Ranch. Yes, sir, there's plenty of parking room here in the front parlor, so all you have to do is just sit down and make yourself at home.
You belong to my heart, now and forever. And our love had its start not long ago. We were gathering stars while a million guitars played our love song. When I said I love you, every beat of my heart said it too. Was a moment like this. Do you remember? And your eyes threw a kiss when they met mine. Now we own all the stars and a million guitars are still playing. Darling, you are the song, and you'll always belong to my heart. Moment like this, do you remember? And your eyes threw a kiss when they met mine. Now we own all the stars and a million guitars are still playing. Darling, you are the song, and you'll always belong to my heart.
Gene, I have the afternoon off, but don't feel so good.
Well, now, in that case, you've come right to the right man.
Uh-oh.
You are now talking to the president of the Buttram Hospitalization Mutual Company.
Hey, wait just a minute. What do you mean, mutual company?
Just what I said. If you get sick, you're sorry you got to go to the hospital. And if you go there, my company's sorry they got to pay the bill. So the feeling is mutual.
Well, that makes sense and explains everything.
Yeah, except one thing. All I got is an upset stomach. Now, I don't need no hospital.
Well, not now you don't. But how about a week from now, or a month, or a year?
Are you kidding? I never get sick.
Well, listen, pal. With all them germs, microbes, bacterias, and stuff that's floating around in the air these days, if you can't catch something, you just ain't trying.
Fine thing, fine thing.
Another thing. Suppose you want to eat at the hospital.
Look, Buttram. I told you once, I ain't even going to the hospital.
I know you said that, but suppose you did.
All right, suppose I did.
See, I got him in the hospital.
I still don't feel like eating.
In that case, we feed you through a needle.
That's dandy. But what if my gal drops around the hospital and I want her to stay for dinner? What happens then?
That's simple. The nurse just brings in two needles.
Now, this thing gets worse and worse by the minute. Furthermore, Buttram, I think that your whole plan is nothing but a lot of baloney.
Yeah, Buttram. Have you got any references?
Are you kidding? Did you ever hear of Newt Neverpoodle?
Now, who in the world is Newt Neverpoodle?
Well, sir, old Newt, he was a patient of ours. A mental case, he was.
Oh, yeah.
Thought he was a chicken. Used to run around all day cackling, flapping his wings. We cured him, though.
Oh, you cured him, huh?
Completely.
Well, have you seen him lately?
No, but every once in a while he sends me a dozen eggs.
Choose your partner, skip to Malou. Choose your partner, skip to Malou. Choose your partner, skip to Malou. Skip to Malou, my darling. We take a pinafore, how about you? We take a pinafore, how about you? We take a pinafore, how about you? Skip to Malou, my darling.
Don't be too darn sure you do. Don't be too darn sure you do. We've been took by experts too. Skip to Malou, my darling.
Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. Skip to Malou, my darling.
Fly paper is what you need. Fly paper is what you need.
Now don't you know that flies can't read?
Skip to Malou, my darling.
Thank you, Cass County boys and gals. You really did that one up brown. I was just walking out the door.
It's too bad you didn't come before.
I've waited so long, so long, so long. Now there's no time to wait anymore. Now I cry for you day and night,
for the letters that you didn't write.
But now it's all right, all right, all right. You won't have to write anymore. Not so long ago, you will never know what this day to me would
could have been. It's all over now, but darling, anyhow, it was nice to see you again. Well, it's almost a quarter to four. Sorry, I can't stay anymore. Must be on my way. It's my wedding day, and I was just walking out the door.
Well, thank you, folks. Many, many thanks. Raining hard the morning this particular story all started. Raining so hard, you could feel it in your bones. But even rain, like everything else, has a brighter side. And in this instance, its brighter side shone down on none other than Pat Butson.
You know something?
What?
There's just nothing like a good hard rainstorm to make a guy feel like cleaning a barn, especially when he knows he can't.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Well, I guess I'll go back to bed. That new Sears Roebuck catalog just come yesterday. Figure I might find something in there to get my girl for her birthday.
Okay, but first, would you mind lighting the fire on your way up to your room?
Oh, be glad to. Anything else?
No. Not that I can think of right... Hey, listen.
What's the matter?
It sounds like an airplane in trouble.
Yeah, danged if it don't. I wonder what he's doing out on a day like this.
I don't know, Pat, but... Hey, his engine's quit. Come on, Pat, hurry. I more than opened the door when I saw it crash into the trees. It was a single engine job, but that was all I could tell. The place where it had gone down wasn't more than 2,000 yards from the ranch house at the beginning of the timberline in the foothills of the mountains. 10 minutes later, we found what was left of it. Huh. You know, that's funny, Pat. Doesn't seem to be a sign around here of the pilot, whoever he was.
Well, maybe he used a parachute.
Oh, I doubt it. At least I didn't see one open.
With all this rain, we're lucky to even see the airplane.
You can say that again. Look, I tell you what, go back to the ranch and call Sheriff Dillon. Tell him what's happened. Give him the license number on the tail of the plane. Ask him what he wants us to do. In the meantime, I'll keep on looking for the guy who was driving this thing. He's bound to be around here somewhere. By now, it was raining harder than ever, and I was soaked clear through to my skin. But I still kept on looking. In fact, I searched the entire area within 1,000 yards of where the plane had crashed. Still, I didn't see a soul.
Hey, Gene! Can you hear me?
Yeah, over this way, Pat. Over to your right.
Hi.
Well, what'd you find out?
Oh, plenty. I just called Sheriff Dillon. The guy that crashed in that plane.
What about him?
He's wanted for murder.
After he'd gotten his breath back again, Pat told me the whole story. It seems the bank had been robbed in Central City, about 125 miles away sometime early that morning. The bandit had stolen $50,000 in cash and negotiable securities. But that wasn't all. In getting away, he had shot and killed a guard. After that, he'd escaped. The police in an airplane bearing the same license number as the one that we had just seen in the crash a half hour earlier. Pat then told me that Sheriff Dillon was organizing a posse and would be out to our ranch within an hour. So, I got all my boys together and waited. Exactly 60 minutes later, there were 26 of us, including the sheriff, ready for action.
Okay, boys. Now, here's the way we'll work this thing. There are 26 of us, so we'll split up in pairs. That'll make 13 groups of two each. Now, look carefully at this. As you can see, Gene and I have roughed out a map of the surrounding area. In just a minute, we'll assign each pair of you a section to cover. If you see anything suspicious, fire your gun twice and wait. Don't try to be a hero, or you may end up in a box. We'll continue the search until nightfall, unless he's found before then. Everybody got that clear?
Yeah, sure enough.
Okay, if that's it, check me for your assignments, and then let's go.
And so the manhunt began. When we went outside, it was still pouring down rain. More rain than I'd ever seen before or ever hope to see again. Anyway, Pat and I had been assigned the northernmost section in the area, a section that started at the foot of Bear Claw Mountain and continued up to its peak, some 3,000 feet higher.
You know, I just hope we find this guy, because if I catch cold, which I am, he's going to pay for the doctor.
Good. If we find him, you can give him a bill.
Well, don't think I won't. Any guy'd rob a bank on a day like this deserves more than a bill. By the way, do you think we will?
Will what?
Find him.
Not if you don't shut that big trap of yours up, we won't.
Shut up, he says. My teeth chattering so loud you can hear them a mile away, and you say to shut up. How can I?
I'm not talking about... Hey, hold it.
What's the matter?
Up there on that ledge above us.
What about it?
I thought I saw something move just a second ago.
Oh, fine. Now you're seeing things. Come on, let's keep moving. We ain't so easy to shoot at that way. Besides, it ain't near as cold.
Quick, Pat. Look behind that rock.
Brother, that was close.
You didn't say that again.
What do we do now?
Quick. Get that rope ready that I told you to bring while I let the others know where we are.
Right.
Okay, give me the rope.
What are you going to do?
Take a little gamble.
Oh, I was afraid of that.
It's the only thing we can do, Pat. In another half hour, we won't be able to see a thing. We may lose the only chance we've got of catching this guy.
So?
It'll take at least that long for any of the rest of them to find us. In the meantime, I'm going to crawl back about 100 yards along the trail we just came up. Then try to pull myself up over the ledge where our bank robber friend is.
Oh, fine.
How many shots you got left in that rifle of yours?
Eight. Why?
Well, keep firing it. Say, every 3 minutes to attract his attention.
Well, my part's easy. It's you I'm worried about.
Don't worry about that. I'll be okay. Just remember, keep down and keep firing. As I half crawled back along the trail, 1,000 questions passed through my mind. Not the least of which was, would I get out of this one alive? Anyway, what seemed like hours later, I reached the spot I was looking for. Up above, about 50 feet, was a large tree trunk anchored firmly in place by a big boulder. I unhitched the rope from around my belt and threw a loop. First time I missed, but the second time I made it. Slowly, I started to pull myself up, hand over hand, foot by foot. The rain made the rope almost impossible to grip. My arms and hands got so numb, they lost all feeling. But finally, I reached the top. Pulled myself up over the ledge, lay flat on the ground till I could catch my breath. And then I saw him. He was standing with his back to me about 50 feet away. In one hand, he held a .32 automatic. In the other, a sack. He was a big man, about 6 foot, I'd say, and looked to weigh over 200 pounds. Little by little, I worked my way up behind him until I was sure that he could almost hear my breath. And then suddenly I jumped.
Drop that gun. Drop it, I say.
You dirty level.
Now.
You had enough if you want some more?
No, I've had enough. Just don't hit me again.
Okay. Get up.
Gene, are you okay?
Yeah, Sheriff, I'm okay. Our friend here tried to get a little playful, though.
Oh, yes, so I see. By the way, where's Pat? Hey, you're bleeding.
Don't worry about me, Jim. It's just a scratch. This guy can't shoot any straighter than he can fly an airplane. As for Pat, he's down below, acting as a decoy.
Oh, good. Well, I guess that's that. Now, if it'd only stop raining, everything would be just... Well, I'll be doggone.
What's the matter?
It has stopped raining. Hey, look, Gene. Over the top of that next peak. Ain't that a rainbow?
Yeah, Sheriff, sure it is. But from the looks of what's in the sack this guy is carrying, the pot's at the wrong end. That story I just told you reminded me of a favorite song of mine. Because out here in this part of the country, whenever we finish a day's work, no matter what it is, it's always nice to know that somewhere up ahead, we can sit and rest at the end of the trail. I'm weary and tired. Our work is all through, but we'll rest at the end of the trail. We'll stand by the fire where there's nothing to do. At the end of the trail, if we feel like roping, we'll hitch to a star. If we keep on loping, it's not very far. I'm weary and tired. Our work is all through, but we'll rest at the end of the trail.
If we feel like loping, we'll hitch to a star. So just keep on loping, it's not very far.
I'm weary and tired. Our work is all at the end of the trail. Until we're back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentle weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I oh, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again.